Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Butler Sports Buffet, the show with all the Butler athletics you could handle. I'm your host, Ethan Pollock, and today I'll be joined later by my rotating panel of James Andrews and Jake Kaufman. But first, let's run down some of the headlines and topics for today's show. The Butler men's and women's cross-country team officially qualified for the NCAA National Championship meet. Also, Hinkle Magic is back as we break down the beginning of men's and women's basketball seasons and more. And lastly, we'll have our first special guest and junior forward on the Butler men's basketball team, Mike Parker, to discuss his basketball journey and provide some insight onto the team and for the rest of the season. For the first meal, we'll be digging into the Butler cross-country team. Alrighty, for the cross-country segment here, I'm going to be joined by one of our hosts or co-hosts in James Andrews. James, how's it going?
Pretty good, Ethan. Doing really well. Everything's going good. And I'm really excited to talk about this cross-country team because a lot of sports here on Butler have kind of been struggling recently. And this team is might be one of the best that nobody is really talking about right now just because they're not very popular around campus. But they have been tearing it up so far in regional play.
Absolutely. Is this team, I'll go a little bit into depth first, as the cross-country team has had a spectacular season thus far. They came into this season with a preseason ranking, at least on the men's side, being ranked 9th. In the entire nation, according to the U.S. Cross Country and Track and Field Coaches Poll, which was one of the highest rankings they've ever received. And so being able to have them get the recognition that they deserved at first was beyond my belief, because they had a spectacular season last season, because this is the men's second time qualifying to nationals. They qualified last year, and then they're now qualified this year. And so this has been an outstanding season. Like I said, we've had great performances out of some of the top runners, especially in the NCAA Great Lakes Regional that they had last week on Friday, where on the men's side, Butler went 1-2 with Simone Bedard and Barry King taking those top two spots. Simone Bedard, after winning the Big East crown 2 weeks ago, he went and he's like, I want a little bit more this week, and went and decided to go out and win the NCAA Great Lakes Regional, which is a huge, huge accomplishment for him as he is looking to continue to keep getting better and better. Last season, he finished 37th nationally, earning himself All-American honors, and this season is only going to get better as he's going to have another chance to even finish even higher than he did last season. So this team has just been spectacular, at least on the men's side and the women's side. Both of them being able to make it is spectacular. Both finished 5th. I cannot wait to see what they've got. James, you got any more praise you'd like to keep continuing?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it. They're just top two guys are as good as any two in the country with Simone Bedard and Barry Keane. I mean, at this point, those two are kind of what's really pulling this Butler team so far. And even though they haven't been as good as a unit so far this season as they hoped coming into it, they've still been really good. They're ranked about 28th nationally right now. And even though they weren't able to pull out the team victory in the regionals, it was all Simone Bedard and Barry Keane on that day, because those two not only finished top two, but at one point in the race, they had a 21-second advantage over the field. Barry Keane was just right behind Simone for most of the part. And there were other big-name players in this race, too. Notre Dame was sending out their best, and then other teams that were there was Wisconsin, Michigan, and Michigan State. So there were, you know, a lot of big-time schools that were running there, and Butler was kind of one of the smaller ones, too. But for them to go out and be able to just dominate the top two and really send a message was very impressive.
It was big finishes. We also want to give some special shout-outs to some of the other runners that are also helped with the scoring, as the top five runners are the ones who score the points. So obviously Jack McMahon stepped up for Butler as he was their third finisher and came in 31st, Clark Otten 40th, and Evan Byrne in 42nd. Those guys being able to work together as a team and a unit in the back and try and help work with, as Simone Bedard and Barry Keane were able to get those top two spots. But you can't win and make it to nationals by yourself as a team. You have to rely on the rest of your team. So having those guys be able to finish in such a stacked regional, I think that was very, very big for them. And obviously such a huge, huge accomplishment for the men. But we'll continue to keep working on the women's side now, as they also are going to be joining the men and on the trip to Tallahassee. As another spectacular season where senior Angelina Ellis, the most consistent runner by far, I will say, as she continues to keep putting up quality performances no matter what race she's in. And especially in this one, she was in the top 15 at every single split the entire race. So being able to have someone like that on your team is humongous. And then also having two other runners on the team finish in the top 20 and earning themselves all regionals, all regional honors in Mia Beckham and Cammie Hankins, who finished 16 and 19. Those are spectacular finishes, and I can't believe they've done it. So anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, the two that I would like to talk about the most are Mia Beckham and Cammie Hankins, because, you know, we've talked for a while now about how Angelina Ellis is so good. Anybody that's watched this team has praised her all season long for her consistent running, but it was really those other two, Beckham and Hankins, that really just stepped up and was really a catalyst into having the Butler women's team qualify for nationals, because, you know, without those two finishing in the top 20 and having three finishers in the top 20, they honestly maybe don't get that nod. So I think that was, you know, a very clutch performance out of those two to really just up their game when it mattered most.
Absolutely. And ironically, as a team in the men's and women's sides, the top five teams finished in the exact same order. So Notre Dame took number one, Wisconsin took number two, and then Michigan State as follows. So but obviously both teams being able to finish this high and Butler being able to finish fifth as a team. So they didn't automatically qualify, as only the top two teams get an automatic bid to nationals. So Butler had to cross their fingers and hope that they'd be able to get in on the selection Saturday, not selection Sunday. This is not March Madness, but the fact that they were able to sneak in with an at-large bid because of their ranked wins that they had earlier in the season, where they, in earlier races, especially in the Big East Conference, where the men were able to finish first and the women finished second as a team, were huge, huge, huge wins, because it was shown that they were able to beat some of the ranked opponents that are in the Big East, who there are some great opponents in there with Villanova, Georgetown, and those other few other schools that are in there. But mainly those two teams are ranked opponents, and be able to top them was a very, very good accomplishment for them, which helped them earn the at-large bid that they received, and a ticket, obviously, to Tallahassee to go race this upcoming Friday. So it'll be a very, very fun race. The women will be running at 10:20 a.m. and the men will be follow at 11:10 a.m. So make sure you guys tune out to that, because it's going to be a very, very fun race to go watch, as Butler's not only competing in the men's, but they're competing in the women's side for the first time since 2005. So it is a huge accomplishment. So make sure to go check that out and cheer on the Bulldogs. All right, now we're going to be moving on to the women's basketball part of this podcast, and now I'm going to be joined by another one of our rotating panel in Jake Kaufman. Jake, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad that we got, you know, both basketball seasons are underway, both men and women, and that we've got some games into it. You know, it's obviously been well-hyped, and the women's team was, there's a lot of excitement going into this. You know, they obviously had a rough season last year, which we touched on initially, but there's a lot, even though the first two games have been a little bit rough in terms of the score up, but there's been some positive signs. And the first thing that was very difficult, however, though, is that their starting point guard, the graduate student Genesis Parker, unfortunately tore her ACL, is expected to miss the rest of the season, and their loss against IU. She's a lot of ways similar to what Erin Thompson gives to the men's team, so it was just a big culture shock and big shock for everyone on the team. It's going to be a difficult change, but it gives a lot of more time, minutes and time for the freshmen. Two players who I think have really stood out so far throughout the thing is Zoe Jackson and Alex Richard. Zoe Jackson is now the de facto starting point guard due to Genesis's injury, and she's very quick and explosive, can shoot pretty well, does a lot of different things well. And Alex Richard is very smart and skilled in the post. Even in the game against Western Illinois yesterday that they lost, she had a lot of great fakes and moves that got defenders off of her, just didn't always finish. So obviously they lost the first two games, and especially the 73-46 loss to Western Illinois yesterday wasn't the most optimistic, but there's signs and pieces there you can see of the team being much better than they've showed so far.
Absolutely. I mean, you were mentioning it, so I was going to quickly just run through the full season recap that we've had so far, is that the women's team has started off in their exhibition game against Trine. They won 68-61, and they started off their season last week, technically, where they went and they played number 8 Indiana in IU, where they lost 63-86, but it was honestly a really good game and a really good showing from the women's team. It's a little bit more promising, as you said, as they at one point were actually even winning, and they were holding in for a little bit longer than most people were expecting. So I think that this team has some fight, and they've shown that there is some fight to them. And since they were playing a ranked team, it was obviously a little bit harder. But I do like the promise that this team shows, and I can't wait to see what they have. And then obviously the game against Western Illinois, it was a rough showing, and everyone has those rough days. They lost 46-73, but I really like what this team is bringing each and every day, and their next, I think they are going to continue to keep getting better.
Something else I think we should point out is that there's been five players for the team have not played yet this season. That's Rose Dumont, Jamelyn Robinson, Kate Tanner, Selena Terborin, Uma Tori. And so obviously that's going to be a big difference when they get some of those players back. And those are all five players that are not dealing with serious injuries. Kate's been on the bench and been very vocal. So they obviously have a lot more depth in players that they're are willing to show. And I think the main thing is, while a lot, like especially the game against Western Illinois was great, a lot of the things were fixable. A lot of it wasn't really just being out-talented. It was leaving some people open too much, or just not, or when you're down big, not always hustling and stuff. And I think these are things that I believe the coaching staff and the players can correct, which is a good thing. Especially in that Indiana game, like you said, they did stick around for a while and they had a lead in the beginning of the second quarter, but the scouting, the game plan seemed to be to leave, I'm trying to remember, Nicole Cardano Hillary open, and who was their starting point guard, who was, based on scouting report, the worst starter on the team, and she finished with 29. So I think, you know, the thing I'd like to see more is adaptability within games, which, you know, I think this team can do. This obviously, there's a lot of new freshmen on this team, which obviously makes those kind of in-game adjustments difficult because they're not as much used to it. But I do think there's a lot of upside here, and I obviously think, you know, when your first game of the season is against the number 8 team in the country, it's a pretty tall task, especially losing your starting point guard in the middle of it. But I think that they're going to be better than last year, and there's definitely some positive signs, at least, to look at going forward.
Absolutely. And obviously, I want to put in one more set that I think is a pretty cool, as I know you were talking about how great Alex Richard has been. After a 20-point performance that she had against IU, she followed it up with 7 points, 5 rebounds, and a team-best 4 steals. So this team's going to be looking to give the ball to Alex Richard the rest of the season and making her one of the biggest impact players on the team. So, all right. So the Butler women's basketball team will have a few more games this week as they play Ball State at home, once again, in Hinkle Fieldhouse at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And then they also will be playing Austin Peay on Saturday at 12 p.m. inside Hinkle Fieldhouse. So make sure to go cheer on the Bulldogs there as they will be looking to get their first win of the season. Alrighty, now we're moving on to the bread and butter of our podcast. It is the men's basketball team, as their season has also started this week, as they had 3 games this week and fans inside Hinkle. The magic was, let's just say, to say the very least, was insanity, as fans are finally beginning to begin piling into the stadium and being able to cheer on the Bulldogs. And it's been an incredible experience for everyone, as it's great to see everyone back inside the stadium. Right, James?
Oh, it is phenomenal to see. I mean, just there's nothing like just spending your Saturday night and going and sitting in the dog pound, being able to just root on the dogs with your fellow students and just have some fun. And then also the biggest thing that I love about the dog pound, especially in these early season non-conference games where you're playing a lot of smaller schools, is you can really have an impact on the other team. Because like when Michigan State or any Big East school comes into town, for example, like you can have somewhat of an impact, but they're used to playing in front of packed crowds, people yelling their names, yelling stuff at them, good or bad. So it doesn't have as big of an effect. But with these guys, they're used to playing at smaller gyms. Maybe some of them went to big high schools and have some experience with it, but a lot of them probably have not. And so, you know, we really saw that with the Troy game, especially where, you know, on the defensive end, we were really just getting into their heads as they were just struggling on offense. And then the dog pound just added that much more to it, because every time they make a mistake, the dog pound is just going to jump right on it and harp on them for it.
Yeah, speaking of defense, the defense has been spectacular so far in this first week, as Butler has not allowed more than 60 points at all this season. In 3 games that they played, not one team was able to put up more. So being able to have guys show up like that and lock down inside Hinkle is an amazing sign, as more than likely this team is going to be a defensive minded team, as that's how LaVall Jordan loves to run his team. Is these players are more of a defensively focused mind. And as soon as we get Aaron Thompson back this upcoming week, it'll be humongous, as he's also going to bring another defensive presence to this team and only make it even better, as this team continues to keep holding teams below obviously 60 points, like I said. And I think the game that has most shown it the best was obviously the first game of the season against IUPUI, where they only held them to 47 points. which I think IUPUI only had, I think they only made 3 of 23 from the 3-point line. So being able to force a team to miss that many shots is spectacular, and I can't wait to see how much more or how much better they can be in a tougher matchup against Michigan State.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of mentioned it, the defense picked up right where they left off from last year, and in last year there was a lot of low scoring games in part because the offense really struggled, and you know, they, on both ends, they were just trying to chew up clock because they knew, you know, they couldn't win in a shootout with anybody. They had to get in a defensive slug match with them, and they've taken that identity and run with it this year, even though they have started to put up points too. They put up 47 points in both the second half against Central Arkansas and versus Troy, but in neither game did it really affect their defensive intensity. You know, they both teams may have had more possessions, but efficiency wise they were still getting stops at the same exact rate. So the defense is playing huge so far, and the offense is starting to pick up now. I think they're definitely missing a few of their key players like Aaron Thompson and Bo Hodges. When those two guys come back, they'll be able to create a little bit more offensively for themselves and for other people. But yeah, right now their defense is locked in. And I think against Michigan State, it gives them a real chance to win, because when you can play defense at a high level in college basketball like this, you never know when you can catch a team on an off night. And then few of our guys spark up and hit some shots, and then you never know what type of ball game it could turn into.
Absolutely. And then switching from the defensive side to the offensive side, there's been one player that I think has been stood out. I mean, many people could choose Chuck Harris, but I think I want to give a special shout out to one of the graduate students who's been playing a little bit better, and Jair Bolden, who the last two games against Central Arkansas and Troy has put up double-digit points. In the Central Arkansas game, he had 16 points, three-point field goals made, and same thing in the game against Troy, where he had 21 points and 3-point field goals made. And he's been playing; he's gotten a lot better over the season, and be able to have a guy come off the bench like that is obviously, like I said, very promising for this team going forward. I mean, we can't forget about the fact that Chuck Harris is continuing to keep getting better and better and putting up more and more points. Jair Bolden was not the leading scorer in the game against Troy. Chuck Harris actually had 23 points and is continuing to be Butler's go-to guy. But I think that this team, with Chuck Harris and Jair Bolden being able to make these shots offensively, could be a little bit like underrated. The fact that this team is continuing to keep getting better.
Yeah, Chuck Harris is Chuck Harris. We don't really need to spend too much time talking about him. We know how good he is. He was their leading scorer last year for most of the season. He's going to do it again this year. This team goes as he goes. But Jair Bolden really is the key coming off the bench, because this team lacks spacing. That is something that they need to find from someplace other than Chuck Harris. And Jair Bolden is that perfect fit, because when he comes into the game, he doesn't only add spacing, but he actually has the defense gravitating towards him because of how effective of a shooter he can be. He can knock down shots from 5-6 feet behind the line pretty easily. He's got NBA range out there for sure, and you can draw up plays for him too and get off ball screens and down and up screens, and then that can create wide open shots for Jair Bolden. And then a lot of times what happens is after he hits one or two of them, then the defense starts to blitz him, and then he can set up other guys with easy baskets going towards the rim. So it really does add a lot for this offense to have him going, and basically he just needs to keep up this good shooting, because when his shots are falling, he's a very valuable player, and he's a guy that Butler needs on the court to win. If they do want to make a deep run in the Big East this year and have a really good regular season, they're going to need him locked in hitting his shots, just because this team doesn't have a whole lot of shooting coming from other places that can just really put up a tough shot and not just, you know, catch and shoot one.
Another special shout out to true freshman Jaden Taylor for stepping up in such a humongous role, coming onto the team and gaining a starting role right away and being able to handle all that pressure has been amazing. In the game against Central Arkansas, he was the leading scorer for them, putting up 18 points for the team. And he's been, I think, one of the last piece I think Butler's been needing on this offense, at least from an offense standpoint, because he's, compared to last year, there's a lot of guys who struggled to, obviously, with spacing, as there is not many people who could shoot the ball, where I believe that Jaden is going to bring some more shooting that'll be able to, I guess, space people more out, including Chuck, and kind of take a little bit of the pressure off of him as they continue to keep playing, as he's shown that he can make him shots. But I think the biggest asset that he brings is he's not afraid to go straight to the paint and drive, and that has been his biggest strength that I have noticed so far in the first three games is he's willing to go and get that contact and go look for an and one. And there's not many guys that are, obviously, I've shown in the first few games that are willing to try and just grind down there and try and go up against the big man and draw the foul. So being able to have someone like Jayden Taylor is humongous for this Butler team going forward. I think he's going to be a very underrated asset on this team.
Yeah, even though he's 6'4", I love the way he plays above his size. You know, he's not afraid to go up there and get tough rebounds and jump with the big men. And then, like you mentioned, just go into the paint and attack hard and go in and be able to finish amongst the trees. And I think that's something that will definitely be a valuable asset for Butler this year, you know, as they struggle with their spacing, to have a guy that can just go in no matter what and get a tough bucket like that. So I think he's just much needed help that Butler could use on the wings. Just gives them even more depth. Whether or not he finds himself staying in the starting lineup isn't necessarily as important as just his continued development and the experience that he's getting from being in the starting lineup right now, because as Thompson and Bo come back and they get healthy, even if he's coming off the bench, he could play a very similar role to Jair Bolden, where if he comes in and he does good off the bench, he could still play 30, 32 minutes in a night. So, I think Jayden Taylor's going to be a key piece towards getting this offense going. But we have seen the offense struggle a little bit, especially in the Troy game. The first half did not look very pretty, as they only had 20 points up until the final seconds when Bryce Enge hit perhaps the shot of the year in college basketball already. I mean, that thing was just magical. He pulled down the rebound after one of the Troy guards was going for a last second bucket himself and just heaved it at the basket the other end from his own free throw line, and it was just completely wet. And then that, just going back to our original point about the dog pound, man, it got the dog pound into it. Everybody was excited after that shot, and you could just tell that it was just that was the catalyst behind their offensive outbreak in the second half of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I have never seen Hinkle that insanely just everyone jumping up and crazy, like a surreal moment of like, oh my gosh, did that actually go in? It was an 80-foot heave, pretty much, that he just didn't even think it was going to go in. And when it went in, he didn't even look surprised. He's like it more of a shocked him than I think anybody else on the court or inside Hinkle. So being able to have that, the Hinkle magic kick in at some point is always, always fun to have. And it is spectacular to always see. I mean, Bryce Enze, we've already talked a little bit about him. I mean, he's the, I guess, centerpiece of this team aside Chuck Harris. He's the one who brings experience. He's the height. He gets those rebounds and is just been spectacular. And then that 80-foot was just the cherry on top. 80-foot heave was just the cherry on top for what he's been doing so far for this team. So we'll just go into our final part of this about Michigan State, a little bit of a preview. James, what are your hopes and dreams for obviously Michigan State, such a big school coming in from the Big Ten, and probably the biggest game of the season Butler's going to have for a while? What are your hopes for Butler in this game?
Yeah, I want to see them knock off Michigan State and do it handedly, because I genuinely think they can. Michigan State is just this a big name, and there's so much aura around them, and them coming to campus is so huge. But this isn't a phenomenal basketball team. They lost to Kansas by 13 in their opening game. They gave up 87 points too, so I think it's really interesting to see what gives, because Michigan State has always been known for great defense under Tom Izzo, but sometimes they are slow get going out of the season. So I think if Butler can really get a lot more body movement out of their offense coming up in the Michigan State game, I think that'll give them a chance to, you know, put up 80 points against a legit program and not one of the smaller schools. So I think that, you know, they have a chance to really win this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Butler won by 10. But at the same time, if they aren't able to get the offense going and be able to play make a little bit more, this is going to be a very athletic team, and they will jump on you quickly. And there's not going to be a lot of room to make tough shots. They're going to have to be able to find a way to get themselves some easy ones.
If there's one thing I have to say, fans, do not miss this game, because this is going to be one of the best games I think that you're going to be seeing all season, as you're going to have one of the high-powered offenses in Michigan State come to Hinkle, which is known obviously for our defense. So we're going to see if Coach Izzo and the Izzone is able to handle Hinkle this Wednesday against obviously Michigan State at 7 p.m. So make sure you try and show out and cheer on the Bulldogs there. But that's going to do it for our basketball segment. But unless you want to add anything else to add?
It's going
to
be a sold-out crowd too, Ethan. Reports from the Dog Pound members are that the tickets were only out for students for less than a day, and then they already ran out all 1,000 or so tickets that they allotted for students that game. And then also regular general admission seating that you can pay for on Ticketmaster, that is already also sold out. So I would expect a packed house. Hopefully we don't see any seats empty in Hinkle and that we can get back to real Hinkle magic.
I'm excited. I'm sure everyone else is excited as this game is going to be one to remember. So, but that's going to do it for our men's basketball segment. And now we're going to be moving into one of our special segments as we actually have a special guest joining us here from the men's basketball team as well. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another segment of the Butler Sports Buffet. We're going to be here joined by a special guest here today and one of the junior forward men's basketball players in Mike Parker. Mike Parker, thank you so much for joining us here today. How's it going?
Thank you, Ethan, for having me on. I appreciate it. Pretty good. Glad we got the win last night against Troy. Had a doubleheader. It's been going pretty well. Glad we were able to pull out both those games.
All righty. So today we're just going to be kind of going into a little bit about Mike and your background. Obviously, is as we said, every basketball player has a journey to where they are today. And obviously, you started out in North Carolina, made it all the way here to Butler. So I would love to hear can you tell me a little bit about your backstory, how you got to where we are right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Coming out of high school, wasn't highly recruited. Had a few offers here and there, mostly the D2, D3 level, smaller schools. Didn't originally commit to Butler coming out of high school. Went to a small school in Maryland called Salisbury University. It's a D3 on the Eastern Shore. And had a really good opportunity there. Was set up to start my first year, was in the honors program, so I was set academically and athletically. But when I got there, things kind of changed a couple months in. To the teams, to the community, and to the university's surprise, the whole coaching staff was fired right before the season started. And it was just a really unexpected roadblock that all of us had to deal with. I didn't feel as connected to the university, being so far away from home, that I did certain people there, the coaches that originally recruited me. So before the season started, this is around November, I decided to get my release and pursue other options. I really enjoyed certain aspects of the university, but overall it wasn't going to be the right fit for me, especially athletically. So got my release, and that basically allowed me to reopen my recruiting and explore other options. Decided to take the gap spring semester and go out west to play post-grad prep basketball. So it's kind of like an intermediary one-year period for guys that are trying to boost their recruiting out of high school. Guys that, guys that aren't clearly going D1, guys that, need to work on their game to get those offers. It was the right opportunity for me. There were a few other guys out there with similar skill levels and skill sets to me. It was a good opportunity. Went out in January, played basketball every day, 6 hours a day from January to April. It was just me going in, getting better. It was a crazy time period. I didn't know what my future was going to hold because, once you leave a school and you reopen your recruiting, unless you're a highly recruited player, guys that came here before like Jordan Tucker, mm-hmm. who can get their release and immediately go to another big program. For a lot of other guys, it's like, you don't know, what's next. So, there was definitely a lot of anxiety during that time, but, it was a time of just, enjoying basketball. So while on the one hand, there was a lot of, uncertainty, there was also, an appreciation for the game. I got to play it every day, all day, and solely focus on that, not have to worry about academics and extracurricular activities and whatnot. I was working out there for 4 months, eventually came home, got some film, was talking to some coaches, and Coach Val's in Butler came up, and Coach Val called me late April, early May. Called me over the phone, talked to me a little about Butler men's basketball, and what they were going through and how they had a roster opening for a walk-on position, and it was a no-brainer right away. Wanted to be a part of the team and wanted to be a part of a great program like Butler. Glad I committed. Had a lot of family actually that came here beforehand, so it was kind of a legacy thing in a lot of ways. Even longer. It's a long distance away from Wilmington, but have a lot of extended family here in Indianapolis. Have I have familiarity with Indy, visiting so often when I was little. So Butler was kind of like a home away from home, and just seemed like the right fit. And ever since I've been here, I've enjoyed the last 2.5 years, and I'm really looking forward to what the season has to hold, and especially as well, Butler will set me up for afterwards.
Absolutely. I mean, that sounds like a spectacular journey of you, a lot of being able to try and adjust to switching everything. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about was it really hard to adjust from obviously the warmer weather in North Carolina to coming over here and coming to Butler? And first, how was your first experience here at Butler?
Oh, yeah. So, little backstory. Wilmington, I was there from freshman year of high school. Moved around a lot because my dad was a banking executive, worked in National City for 25 years. So we were, in Cleveland. We moved down to Louisville, moved back up to Detroit for a little while, but mainly we're in the Cleveland area. And basically bounced around the Midwest area. So had a familiarity with what that weather was like, especially as a kid growing up.
You could deal with the Midwestern weather.
Yeah, absolutely. I could. It wasn't terrible. In high school, grew up obviously in warmer weather. When you're on the beach, so it's more moderate, especially during the winter. So the lowest it got was maybe 50.
Okay.
We had maybe one snow day a year. So yeah.
Must be really nice.
Yeah. We, most of the days, during the winter, the low was probably 40 or 50.
Wow.
And during the summers, it got up to as high as 100, and obviously right next to the ocean, all that water created a lot of humidity. So wasn't the most pleasant time, but in terms of just the weather and surroundings, it was a little bit of an adjustment, obviously different than what I'd recently known, but definitely not something I was opposed to. I actually kind of like it. Indianapolis better than Wilmington, especially not necessarily from a weather and environmental perspective, but more so just in terms of what the city has to offer. It's a lot bigger than a small coastal city, a lot more opportunities. I'm not a big surfer, so it's not the main draw to Wilmington is if you want to surf, you can do that year round. But that's not, that wasn't me. I was always focused on basketball. So yeah, I didn't really mind the transition from Wilmington to Indianapolis at all.
Have you ever tried going surfing or?
I have a couple times, on vacation, but haven't been too successful. might've been able to ride maybe a wave or two, but, for the most part, I've been focused on my sport and, all the stuff going on, academically.
All right. And then obviously speaking a little bit about high school, I saw that actually, during your time in high school, you were one of the best basketball players that your program has ever had in history. You even got your number retired. Can you tell me what it meant to be able to have that happen and how you believe or how, basically to see all that work pay off? How did it feel to have that happen?
Yeah. So they retired my number, it was in December. So right when I got my release. So I get my release in November. My high school team retires my number in December. So right when I come back home. So, it was kind of one of those things that was I'm grateful that I accomplished, especially while I was going through. It was definitely, a pick me up a little bit. I knew it was happening. They announced it the year before that they'd be retiring my number. I just didn't know when. Mm-hmm. So, when it eventually came around, it was definitely, an empowering moment, showed me how far I've gotten, especially, all the work I put in to get to that point. I was in the gym basically every morning, throughout high school. Our head coach, he was great at investing in us as players. So he'd open up the gym and we'd get in workouts starting 6:30 about every morning. And all that comes to fruition, it's just, it's very satisfying. I'd say it's, you can't describe it all in words, but if I had to say one thing about it, it's just that it's really fulfilling because, you put in all this work, you're grinding, and in the moment you don't always see it. Once it comes to fruition and you're able to look back on it and say, wow, I put in all this work, I've gotten so much better. Maybe I'm not quite where I want to be right now. I want to, have some stuff I still need to improve on, but this is definitely moving me in the right direction. And it was definitely that, that award was definitely, powerful for me. It encouraged me. It kept me going, especially during a hard time. Was glad, I had a great 4 years and, wouldn't have wanted to spend my high school experience anywhere else.
Absolutely. And then looking forward to, like, obviously the first time when you were coming to Butler, I really have to ask, since it's, everyone has a different experience every single time, what was your first, like, surreal experience of when you first stepped foot to go play inside Hinkle? Well, how did it feel? Did you really feel the Hinkle magic, the Hinkle Haven, or really get that sense of feeling about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first year at Butler, I obviously had to sit out for transfer rules, so wasn't able to get in the games much. So I was sitting on the bench with a polo and khakis. Me and a couple, I think it was just me. Yeah, it was just me sitting out. All the other transfers had fulfilled their requirements. So yeah, it was just me. Everyone else was eligible to play. So, great experience on the sidelines. It was, being a part of the Butler bench has been, a great experience. We're very energetic. We bring it every day, and being right next to, some of the best student section in the country. It definitely gives a lot of energy and keeps you going, especially when there's those low moments. That's where Hinkle is really special. When we're down, like last night, we were down. Troy took the lead early, and we, didn't have a lot of energy on the floor at that point. And I think our fans, our students, all of our supporters showed up and, were there for us, especially in that type of moment. So that just goes to show, like, what it's all about. It's an energy that definitely is able to carry you when you're not maybe not at your best. So yeah, it was it's been a great experience. It's been great to experience it, on the bench, but also when I was finally able to get in the game at junior year. First game was actually versus Marquette. This was obviously a little different. We were down by a lot, not leading by a lot. So a little different than most of the other guys could say about playing. But yeah, nonetheless, great fans, and the energy in there was still incredible. When I hit my first shot, it was one of those crazy moments. It's a microcosm. It only lasts a few seconds, but it felt like it was lasted for minutes. Like I felt like I was out there for a long period of time, like scrimmaging. It wasn't just like one of those short things. And when I hit it, it was just it was incredible. The energy, the excitement in there was exhilarating. The atmosphere, everyone was cheering and going crazy, and it's definitely true that they say that Hinkle magic thing, it's definitely real, and I can attest to that.
All right, so you obviously, I'll answer the next question I was going to ask you about that, obviously your first shot, but I mean, obviously being able to get into the game, how did it feel to basically be able to make that? Obviously you said you make the first shot, but you've played a little bit more throughout. I think last season you played a little even more. How did it feel to, are you beginning to build a little bit more confidence as you get to play more and more when you step on the court, obviously in Hinkle or anywhere else?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think, there's a lot of stuff you don't see going into it, all the hours that we basketball players put in you guys come see 30 games, but in reality, we're going at this thing about 300 days a year. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes that's never seen, most people never notice. It just comes out in those 30 games that we play. So yeah, I feel like I have built more confidence, getting out on the floor more. There's definitely there can be butterflies, there can be a little nervousness, your first few times out there. It's a big college arena, and there's a lot of fans and a lot of people that really care about this. So, yeah, definitely your nerves can be a little off a little bit. But for the most part, I say, I think most of my development, most of my preparedness has been through what I put in on a daily basis. Being a part of the program the last 2.5 years, I can see how much I've grown as a player. I came in here with a skill set and improved upon it, and have, found a way to, make an impact on a daily basis in the Butler men's basketball program. Maybe that you don't see it all the time on the court, because as a walk-on, you're not going to get, there are guys that are really good out there, and you're not going to get the same amount of PT as some of these other guys that, could really go far with it. But yeah, I can definitely say, I can say from a personal standpoint that, I've improved a lot, and there's definitely a lot more things that I can do that I feel comfortable with now. I think that it's just been, we're a developmental program. Mm-hmm. You know, guys don't come in here and they're one and done. They come in here and they come in one way and they come out a completely different another 4 years later. From a basketball standpoint, also from just a person standpoint, Coach Val, all the assistant coaches, they invest in us as people just as much as they do as players. So, you know, we're going to, you know, completely, we're going to improve a lot on our game, but we're also going to improve as individuals. So, yeah, I can say that, you know, being a part of the program has definitely, you know, shaped me on and off the court and has, you know, ultimately allowed me to play at my highest level.
All right. Absolutely. And then you mentioned earlier about like the behind the scenes, and obviously you guys, I'll like move towards like the start of the season that you guys have already started off with a 3-0 start.
Mm-hmm.
What has been clicking behind the scene, or what has like Laval Jordan been kind of helping to do to help motivate you guys to be able to reach obviously something so successful, obviously in these first three games that you guys have had to start off the season?
Yeah. And you've probably seen this as time's gone on, especially in the last game. We've started to look a lot more connected. One thing he said, Coach Val said in practice, is that close isn't connected. We're close right now. You know, we like each other. We're getting along well in the locker room. We're practicing well, but there have still been moments, you know, in every game. Like if it was IUPUI's matchup zone, you know, we kind of struggled to score against that, especially early, recognizing, you know, how can we exploit this, whether it or be Troy's pressure, you know, their pack line defense and, you know, pressure full court. Caused us a lot of turnovers. But yeah, we're, you know, so there's some connection issues there, with guys, you know, passing the ball, going out of bounds, turning the ball over, you know, not, you know, maybe missing a closeout or a matchup on defense. So yeah, there have been here and there times where we've been, not as connected as we should be, but overall, you know, we're, the pieces are there. We're only going to get better. Obviously, you know, it sounds like I'm being pretty negative for a 3-0 start, but I know we are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kind of saw it come out against Central Arkansas. Yeah, it's just when we're connected and we're playing 40 minutes. What, you know, Coach Val always demands, you know, can we get 40 minutes of Butler basketball? Once we get those 40 minutes, you'll see what we can do. Hopefully that we can, you know, do that against Michigan State. But once you see 40 minutes of us playing at our, you know, highest level, I think everyone will come away really impressed. We'll be able to, you know, beat a lot of good teams. You know, just because of the talent level we have, just because of the, you know, the roster makeup and, you know, how we're gelling. I think a lot of fans will be really impressed. Like once we, you know, get a few of these things, you know, once we, you know, get a little more on page with each other, while we're playing on the court in the moment, I think it'll be really special to watch.
I absolutely love the confidence. I am super excited to have you guys keep playing, but I was wondering, obviously you mentioned Michigan State is a huge, huge matchup for them to be coming to Hinkle Fieldhouse this Wednesday. I was wondering, how are you guys preparing? What are you guys doing to get ready for such a big game this season?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, the preparation for, yeah, we do, it's the same way every time. You know, we have a standard, we have ways, you know, obviously there are certain things that we have to focus on. Michigan State, they're a big team. They're really physical. The Coach Val jokes that, they practice football while they're in practice. They're in their rebounding drills and their defensive drills. They're really hitting each other and they're really physical. So, yeah, there's definitely got to be a focus on that, matching that physicality in practice. So there'll be an emphasis there. But yeah, I'd say we prepare for every game the same way, because we know that, you know, everyone's good. Every opponent that we're going to play, they've got guys that can, you know, they can hurt us and exploit us if we're not ready to, if we're not ready for that. So the preparation is the same. Well, obviously today we have an off day, so we're recovering, you know, resting our feet. We've had, you know, back to back. So
yeah, you guys deserve a break.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Much needed, after, all that. And so, after today, so Monday and Tuesday, we'll have practice, maybe a lift on Monday as well. But yeah, it's really, you know, process wise, it's the same. You know, we're going to watch film. We're going to scout them. We're going to go through that. and we're going to go against each other. We're going to go hard. We're going to play live in practice, and we're going to challenge each other because that's what we do every day. And that's really what gets us prepared for the games, is guys challenging each other harder in practice than maybe even the opponent will challenge them in the game. And I think one of the best examples of that was Central Arkansas. Our scout team really came at our starters hard. And we gave them a run for their money early. But they responded and they said, we're going to get stops. We're not going to allow scout team to just run over us here. And that ultimately, that challenge between the two teams, the two squads, is what ultimately got our starters ready to perform in that game. They did incredible. From start to finish, obviously there's things you can improve on anywhere, but that was, it was an incredible game to watch. They've shared the ball well. They did a lot of things. So I think that, our preparation is key in it, to get our guys ready to go. And, guys challenging each other is what's going to get us there. So if we have guys that are really challenging each other in these practices the next 2 days, then I think we'll be prepared for anyone who walks in the building.
Absolutely. I love the confidence. I love the build, but I'm going to have one more question for you here. This is one I've been holding off because it was such a crazy thing. Obviously, we all know what happened yesterday, right before we went to half with Bryce Enzi against Troy. Lofted one from like 3/4 away from the basket, and the bank was open, obviously.
It was.
And I was wondering, what was your view? What was your take on that? How excited were you to see that thing go in?
It was incredible. That's kind of goes back to the Hinkle magic thing, special things happen in there. And that's just one of those moments that, you'll have a memory for a lifetime. It's a microcosm in time, but you'll remember it forever. It's kind of like, if I had to compare it to something, maybe Kamar Baldwin's, buzzer beater versus Villanova, kind of one of those types of moments. I'm happy for him. It's definitely gonna, I hope it's a Sports Center top 10 play. I checked social media, it was all over there this morning. So, great moment and really propelled us into the second half. Got us a lot of energy. We had that scoring run go on in the end, and it really got that really, topped it off and really, got us ready to go in the second half and what got us that lead. So yeah, kudos to him.
Absolutely. That was such an amazing, amazing moment. But I think that's going to do it here for this. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on and taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. And man, good luck for you the rest of the season. We'll be cheering you on in a big game on Michigan State. And hopefully the Dogs can bring it home with some more Hinkle magic.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much. Once again, special thanks to Mike Parker for stopping by and having a slice with us and coming on to the sports podcast. We really appreciate it. And before we go, though, I have a few special shout-outs to some of the other programs that we didn't have enough time to touch on. So shout-out to all the seniors on the football team as they played their final home game of the season this week against Valparaiso on Saturday. And also another shout-out to the women's soccer team for a spectacular season as they fell just short to Wisconsin in the first round of the NCAA tournament last week as well. Alrighty, that'll do it for our first episode of the Butler Sports Buffet Podcast. Thanks to Jake and James for joining me, as well as a special thanks to our producer, Eric Barnes, for all the work you do behind the scenes. I hope everyone has enjoyed, and I look forward to being back here next week over Thanksgiving break for some more Butler Sports content. For the Butler Collegian, I'm Ethan Pollock. Go Dogs!